So we talked about a plan for actually getting it out, but we should probably talk about what it is
you're going to promote. Yeah, I think that would help.
Well, I think we want to basically like push people away. Yeah. If you don't feel called to do this.
Right. If you've made it this far, you know.
If you made it this far, okay, now we know.
Now we know. You can continue on. Yeah.
Exactly. So let's talk about what it is and how exciting it is to promote.
Yeah.
So Jesus Kingdom Ministry. We talked about a reading that everybody's going to do. Mm. Okay, so let's talk in depth about that reading. So Jesus had an epic mission. Matthew 4, verse 23.
And Jesus went about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness among the people.
So the first thing to think about for Jesus in his mission is he was about ministry himself.
Yeah.
He was out there proclaiming the gospel, healing the sick, and we call it around here in our circles, it's a ministry science, not social science. It's the gospel's truth. It's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sins. It's resurrection power. It's hoping, not coping. It's like, I mean, that's, in a sense, that's the first core essence mm-hmm. of every minister at Christian Leaders.
Yeah.
We start right there. So Christian leaders are called too. We need more Christian leaders trained to minister. So Matthew 24, verse 14.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony unto all the nations, and then shall the end come.
So Jesus ministers,
mm-hmm.
and then he sets up the whole understanding that others minister with him.
Absolutely.
The whole world.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This
exactly.
is whole global, yeah.
So when we talk about mission multipliers, the reason we name it mission multipliers is because this is what it is.
It's our mission and we want to multiply.
It's our mission. We want to multiply.
Yeah.
So the leaders are sent. Are you called? Will you recruit others? A multiplication effect occurs. Luke 9, verse 6.
And they departed and went throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere.
So, now Jesus ministers. He raises up others.
Mm-hmm.
He trains them. He sends them. They minister. And then this becomes a very powerful witness to the world. Now, in the article that you're reading, you'll find out about how it was all connected to the core. There's Jesus preached the gospel. Jesus had with him disciples and some women who became ministers as well. And then there were supporting people. And you can read more about that. In this presentation, we're just sort of giving some of the big overarching themes to this. So it becomes the early church paradigm. So Jesus calls his disciples, opens ministry training relationships. So
Acts 4:13. Now when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and had perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Okay. So what starts happening then, it bubbles everywhere.
Yeah.
Now in this case, in that particular passage in Acts, this is a very difficult place because here the Jewish leaders have now got Peter and John, and their questioning is very threatening to them, and Peter and John are just glowing with ministry.
Yeah.
And what can they say to this truth? So what happened then is this spread. So for the first 150, 200 years, this concept, they just multiplied. It multiplied to the wealthy, like Philemon. It multiplied to slaves, like in 1:12, the two female slaves that Pliny complains about to Trajan in a letter where he says, even the slave women are getting to be ministers. I mean, yep. It multiplied to the rich, to the poor. It multiplied in the cities. It multiplied in the valleys. It multiplied. All of this happened. But at some point, and in fact, it multiplies generation. There were 2.3 billion people today. But still, unfortunately, we know there are problems.
Yeah.
And we see that that hierarchy came in, and in the Roman Catholic Church, and again, this is in the history, you see how a hierarchy formed, and there is lay, and there's clergy, the state and the church became one, seminaries and monasteries stopped the massive reproduction of the early church. So what happened is the early church is highly reproductive.
Mm-hmm.
Then, at some point, the institution sets in, and there's a lot of blessing in the institution. I mean, the institutional Catholic era got the doctrines like the Trinity, the Bible became canon. So when we talk about this, some people go like, oh, Catholic is all bad if we're Protestant, and then Protestants, Catholic's all there is. And really, even the church today is nothing different. The biblical church is nothing different than the early church. So in a sense, we're all part of the universal church.
Yeah.
We like to have our little teams and everything like that.
Yeah.
But what we're trying to do is getting back to the kind of pre-Catholic era of massive multiplication.
Absolutely.
The Reformation moved in the direction somewhat. Old doctrines were rediscovered, like the priesthood of all believers, sola scriptura, believers can understand the scriptures, Protestant clergy, professional dominant leadership style persisted, but more open to local Christian leaders. Now, what happened there, Mitchell, is like, so in the early church, men, women, reproduction, diaconess, ministry, reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
Hierarchy sets in. By the 6th century, there were no women ministers anymore in the Catholic Church, but up to that point, they could have them.
Yeah.
And then by the 12th century, Catholic priests, ministers, they couldn't marry anymore, so it'd be only single ones.
Mm-hmm.
The Protestant Reformation comes, it opens back up to men who can marry, but not to women. Then in the time, and it was very much still clergy dominant, and the lay people could be elders and deacons, but they were often untrained.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have that today. We
yeah.
have elders and deacons all over who have no ministry training.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, so you have sort of all these things occurred. And now, having all said that, there were a few places where there were some exceptions, and one of them was in the Methodist Church founded by John Wesley and some Anabaptists and others. What you saw there was, like lay people is what they were called, all of a sudden became more the ministers, and the method of Methodism was very much this like classroom, like free ministry training of today. So then that spread, but then eventually the Methodist Church became very hierarchical like it is today, and again, there's always this tension with growth, and then we also have a lot of spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
The devil does not want the church to grow, and yet despite all of the clunky hierarchy and denominations and divisions, it must be true, because I'm just making a joke here, sort of, because 2.3 billion people consider themselves Christians. I used to say in some sermons, like, how do you know Christianity is true? Despite all the sin, despite all the division, despite all the reckless claims of science, still people in their heart of hearts know they need a Savior and that Jesus rose from the dead and He's the only hope.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean we don't want to be multiplying.
Right.
So let's return to a early church style of ministry training movement where we raise up well-trained local leaders, help local trainers do the training. In other words, when we raise someone up, they become multipliers. Ministry training ambassadors have a larger role. So we start, get back to the early church where we're about reaching people, ministering, and raising up ministers. And all of this is something that can be globally supported.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are mission-inclined people that say, you know what, I will invest in this. So, you know, in a lot of ways, this is the Christian leader story, and as you're sharing ministry to people, they're going to ask you a question like, well, tell me a little bit about Christian leaders, you know, because you're part of this.
Yeah.
Well, here's just a little, you can go to the website to see this, and it's sort of the Christian leader story where, you know, so, you know, the story ultimately, I'm called by God way back when I'm planting churches, and in that calling, I met leaders. In fact, I did. Very much like we were talking about in the last presentation. I did my 200 list, and it spread all over the place. And then it eventually connected to Rich DeVos, just mm-hmm. who knew who. Okay, and then he mentored me sort of like, you know, and how do we get ordinary people to be highly reproducible?
Mm-hmm.
So under that mentorship, many attempts, and most of it, honestly, did not work because the church was very much in the 1990s, still very much denominational, very, you know, wasn't really open to lay leadership.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I worked with the Bible League, you know, the Bible League, we saw how the power of the Word of God worldwide changed the world. Then I was in Manhattan, New York on September 11th, and it was there when I saw the buildings burning and I saw the chaos of the human hearts that, you know what, we have got to get more leaders out. So I called my mentor at that time, Rich DeVos, and said, you know, maybe we should just do this and get ministry training everywhere. And in the internet, Rich, it's going to be the internet. I remember saying that. And he said, well, go forward on this. So we started in 2006. We had 6 students online ministry training at Christian Leaders Institute. By 2012, about 10,000 students. 2014 is when we started the ordination with Christian Leaders Alliance. We had 15,000 program completions in 2015. And now at 2023, over 560,000 accounts. And not only that, we have the college.
Yeah.
We have the Alliance. There's over 4,000 ministers now.
Mm-hmm.
The college has a lot of people, 1,000 graduates now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even know the number.
It's constantly growing, and it's the Lord has blessed it. And what you're seeing is multiplication. You're seeing leaders raise leaders, raise leaders. And that's where there's very few things where you can start with 6 students and grow like that. It takes God and it takes the Holy Spirit to go through and multiply and equip these people to find tools like Christian leaders to help them.
And and I want to go through all those like real quick because it can just be, you know, like la la la, you know, those are years of people like you, transformed lives. And in some ways, it's not a statistic. It's you.
Yeah.
See, it's you are called to spread ministry training. We're your tool. It's not about us. Oh, look what happened to us. No, it's about you having a tool to spread revival, to spread Christianity in your community. And some people might want to know some history. Yeah, there's a guy named Henry, and, you know, this happened, and then this happened, and here's a website link if you really want to know the history. But most people don't want to know our history. They want to know your history.
Yeah.
They want to know your story.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can bring people and send people to ChristianLeaders.org. We'll have videos, and mm-hmm. there's other tools for you. All of that is there. The Christian Leaders College, there's all kinds of questions. But you know what I think in the end? It's your story that matters. That's why they're talking.
Yeah.
So, comes down to an invitation to spread ministry training. You are here getting trained as to represent Christian leaders.
Yeah.
You're getting trained to create Christian Leaders Training Centers. In other words, when you invite people, you're going to encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll enjoy the benefits of connecting. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do with all that. You're going to get trained in this class further on how to raise money for ministry training. We actually have a whole section about raising money for ministry training. So to try, last presentation was really long, so we want to make this one shorter here. It's really about then, you know, getting comfortable to promote ministry training, free ministry training, and what that can occur.
Absolutely.
So as you think about this presentation, what are some takeaways that you get from here?
You know, what I see is when you go through that, it really shows the overarching goal of what we're trying to do. And it's not just to give people fish. It's to give them a fishing rod and say, this is how you catch them. You know, go and show more people. And really, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create fishers of men that can go in. And it's not just about educating these leaders. It's about getting these educated leaders to educate more leaders.
Right. Multiplication.
Multiplication. And you can see that. You can see that through the numbers. You can see that through God's work, through the ministry. And we want to be instruments to promote that. We want to equip you to be able to promote it because there is just a powerful thing that God is doing through this work. And we want to raise up as many leaders as we can around the globe. But we can't do it without your help.
No, we need you.
Yeah.
Right, we do. The Lord needs you. I mean, the Lord could do it on his own, but he chooses to use us.
Yeah.
So we say, let's all do this together.